In a world where death is both enemy and companion, Lilith has been dying her entire life. From her first breath, a moment of silence that terrified her father, to the mysterious illness slowly consuming her body, mortality has been her constant shadow. But it's not just Lilith who's dying. The entire town of Adkova withers under a divine curse, punishment from the god of abundance after Lilith's father dared curse him following a devastating frost. For 15 years, this plague has turned skin to dust, stolen breath from lungs, and drained blood from veins, a slow, merciless execution of an entire community. What makes Lilith extraordinary isn't her impending death, it's how she faces it. Rather than surrendering to self-pity, she transforms her limited time into purpose, becoming a healer who works tirelessly to develop remedies that might slow the inevitable. Her workspace is meticulously organized so others can continue her work after she's gone. In her mostly barren greenhouse, only one patch flourishes, strange black roses outlined in red, defying the death that surrounds them. When her beloved sister Mina begins showing symptoms, flesh-colored dust settling around her, Lilith makes a desperate choice. Unable to express her love directly or reveal her true intentions, she simply promises to return soon from her errands. This emotional wall she's built, this inability to embrace her sister for fear such tenderness might prevent her from leaving, reveals how thoroughly she subordinated emotional connection to practical action. Lilith's desperate quest brings her to Vale, a centuries-old vampire living in isolation. Their first meeting establishes their core tension: Lilith's urgent hunger for knowledge versus Vale's jaded, immortal perspective. When she inquires about his possessions after death, Vale claims immortality, though Lilith corrects him that he's merely long-lived. This exchange highlights their opposing worldviews. Vale finds knowledge meaningless after centuries, while Lilith, with her limited time, cannot fathom such indifference. Their dynamic works because they approach each other from opposite ends of mortality's spectrum. Lilith treasures every moment. Vale's endless existence has left him detached. Yet they share an intellectual curiosity that forms the basis of their unlikely connection. When Lilith examines Vale's blood through her magical lens, she discovers something unexpected: a field of red-black flower petals moving in slow constellations, unlike human blood, yet somehow familiar. This discovery suggests Vale might offer more than knowledge, perhaps the key to her salvation. Lilith's desperate search for a cure leads to dangerous choices, prompting Pharaoh to confront her about working with vampire blood. His intervention reveals both his feelings for her and her forbidden research. Lilith defends herself, explaining that after a decade of failed religious and magical remedies, darker paths are her only remaining option. Despite Pharaoh's tender plea, Lilith rejects his affection, knowing it would be unfair when her time is limited. This continues her pattern of pushing away connections to focus on her mission. Believing they're already too deep in darkness, she returns to Vale's mansion. Through their research, Vale reveals more about himself, that he was born, not turned, a crucial distinction in vampire society, and fled Obitres when his clan of feather-winged Rashan vampires lost power centuries ago. As he shares knowledge about his artifacts and paintings, they experience a genuine connection. For perhaps the first time, Lilith doesn't feel she has to work to bridge the gap between herself and another person. For 3 weeks, Lilith experiments tirelessly with Vale's blood as Mina's condition worsens, her blackening lips marking the plague's advance. After countless failures, she creates a potion that doesn't cure but prevents death. When given to a dying rat, it keeps the creature alive beyond its expected lifespan. This partial success embodies the central theme: not defeating death, but negotiating for more time. As Mina deteriorates, Lilith journeys through a dangerous storm seeking more blood from Vale. En route, starving men attack her. Vale appears with silvery white wings, slaughtering her attackers before Lilith loses consciousness from her injuries. She awakens 3 days later in Vale's home. He has tended her wounds and confesses he finds her infallible, making Lilith laugh as she considers herself the very definition of fallible. This moment humanizes both characters, revealing Vale's capacity for care and Lilith's self-awareness of her limitations. Just as Lilith and Vale make a breakthrough in their research, zealots from town threaten their alliance. Pharaoh warns that they're coming to kill Vale, believing his death will end the plague, showing how desperation warps faith into violence. After sending Mina away with Pharaoh, Lilith rushes to warn Vale. At his estate, she finds bloodshed. Vale has killed Tomasin, a high-ranking acolyte of Vitaris, potentially inviting divine retribution. As the wounded Vale collapses, Lilith sends Pharaoh to town with her medicine bag, confident in their cure. While treating Vale with magical potions, he confesses, "I thought I would be happy to go home, but perhaps they want some part of me I have already given to someone else." When Vale asks why she came to save him, Lilith admits, "I'm dying." Rather than withdrawing, Vale cradles her face and says, "Whatever you wish to give me, I'll have it," an acceptance unlike any she's experienced before. Lilith and Vale's romance ends when they notice the sky above Edkova warping, a sign of Vitaris detecting their transgressions. Despite Vale's offer of help, Lilith insists on facing consequences alone. In Edkova, she finds Vitaris confronting Mina amid wild rose bushes. The god appears both beautiful and terrible, with shifting hair and eyes like sunshine on wheat fields. His touch sends fever through Lilith, his hands embodying opposing forces, one decaying with insects, the other rich with soil and growth. The confrontation reveals a shocking truth. Lilith's father had bargained with Vitaris. The roses were payment for that deal, and Lilith's unnaturally extended life was part of it. She had been living on borrowed time. As Vale approaches, Lilith proposes ending her father's deal by offering Vitaris soil, flowers, and herself. Vitaris accepts with a kiss that returns 15 years of staved-off illness. As he vanishes, Lilith collapses into the barren soil, claimed by death at last. Through fading consciousness, Lilith sees Mina's tears and Vale beside her, with a scorched rose between them, symbol of her fleeting humanity. Vale offers her the ultimate choice, death or becoming a vampire. Lilith experiences a fierce revelation. She wants to live. Vale's blood flows into her mouth, tasting of midnight and rose petals. Weeks later, Lilith awakens to transformed existence, every sense heightened. Asked if she regrets her choice, she simply answers, "No." The resolution heals Lilith's community. Edkova's curse is lifted. No new cases, existing ones cured. The bargain with Vitaris fulfilled. In a touching reversal, Mina urges Lilith to follow her dreams with Vale. "You've spent your whole damned life dying. Now you get to go live," capturing the novel's irony that Lilith had to die to truly begin living. Six Scorched Roses explores how mortality shapes our experience. Their union balances extremes. Vale rediscovering connection, Lilith gaining time to embrace life rather than fight death.